Verse number 9, asked Pete to sing some hymns on grace, because I want to preach on grace. Where would you and I be today without the grace of God?
Amen.
We'd be in bad shape. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9, Bible says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Lord, we sure love you. And Lord, we know it's because of the grace of Almighty God. And Lord, I do pray for your touch and your anointing as I preach this morning. I pray for your people, Father, that they would receive and believe your word, that it would work effectually in their lives. And Lord, if anybody here is not saved, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost would convict them, draw them to yourself, that they would repent of their sins and trust Christ and know what all the shouting and all the joy and all the happiness is all about. And so, Lord, I pray you help your folks today that love you, want to grow and want to serve you in these last days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And let's go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. This will be my text today. So if I tell you to go someplace, I need you to head back to Ephesians 2. I'm going to start in verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. This is a great book we have, isn't it? You know what I did last week? I read an article on theoretical physicists. They think they're the smartest people in the world. They do. I read in that story, one of these physicists was teaching a class at some major university, and he was talking about the atom and all that nonsense. You know, those electrons fly around the atoms. You all know about that stuff. Do you all know how fast those electrons flow? Don't you guys say? Speed of light. Electrons, speed of light. And then there's some other physicist law about if something goes so fast, it's going to cause a fire. I forget what that's called. It's how long I remember this stuff. But anyway, this guy was in a class and he's teaching all that stuff. And so this kid was saved and he raised his hand and he said, "Do you believe in the law of, in that law of when things go so fast, it causes a fire, you know?" He goes, "Well, of course I do." He says, "Well, then why aren't all the atoms just bursting into fire?" And the guy says, "Oh, we call that the law of something glue, nuclear glue or physicist glue or some kind of glue." And he says, "Well, I have another answer." And he said, "Yeah, what's that?" He says, "All things are held together by the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the beginning, God created them." Well, that caused a great stir. Amen. Now, what I did not know is that there is all kinds of those physicist laboratories or playgrounds or study grounds that are worth billions of dollars. And they're funded by rich people, rich governments, with billions more dollars to keep those yo-yos trying to figure out this stupid stuff that the Bible gives you the answer for. Amen. You know, I would spend more time studying the Bible if you really want to learn anything.
Amen.
That's a great book that we've got.
Amen.
So in verse number 1, it says, "And you," chapter 2 of Ephesians, "and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world." Do you see walking in the course of the world is supposed to be past for a saved person?
Amen.
We were listening to the Thren family coming into church, and they were singing that song about Jacob and then Paul when they got saved, and they sang, "The Lord changed my name, and the Lord changed my walk, and the Lord changed my life." I like that change in your walk. Yeah. You get saved. You should not walk in the course. And we're dropping a missionary, and I'll tell you more about that when I'm not on. Missionaries are dropping standards like nothing. And so I was told by a friend of mine that this missionary, his wife is wearing shorts and pants on the field and stuff like that. And so I emailed him and I said, "Well, you know, do you still believe the King James Bible? Do you still have some personal standards?" And his response to me was that dress is a matter of culture. Do you know another word for culture? World. I thought the Bible was supposed to be our final authority in faith and practice. The Bible. Are y'all with me? And don't tighten up on me on a Sunday morning. I just got back. I'm full 2 weeks, you know. You women that want to wear pants, your heart's not right with the Lord. That's an abomination to God. And you men that want to wear dresses, you're an abomination to the Lord. You know, they always say it one way, but they don't say it the other way. I'm being nice. I'm back up here. I see some of you already got offended. I'm so sorry. But that's what the Bible says. It's past. And he says, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's why the course of the world goes according to the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were talking, I was talking to Brother Dan before church. You know, America used to be immoral. Adultery, fornication. But you know what America is now? They're amoral. Amoral means no morals. They think sodomy is okay. They think adultery is okay. They think that all those wicked, ungodly sins are okay. That's because they are amoral. They got zero morals. And there's a lot of saved people that follow right behind them. So the Bible says in verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kingdom toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I just have a four-point outline this morning on the grace of God. My first point, is what we are without the grace of God. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were separated from God. Verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So without the grace of God, we were dead. Without the grace of God, we were children of the devil, and we lived according to the devil and the rulings of this world and the flesh, which is the old Adamic nature. And there's nothing right about that. And listen, before anybody's going to get saved, they have to see themselves as a sinner that has sinned against the holy God, and the wages of sin is death, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. You don't try to talk somebody into getting saved. It is the job of the Holy Ghost to convict them. We are witnesses. We give them the verses. We give them the plan of salvation. We were disobedient. Chapter 2 and verse 2 says that we were disobedient. Man, after you get saved, you ought to be obedient. I don't care how old you are. You ever notice how much trouble people have to submit to authority? You parents that gripe all the time about your kids and them not obeying you. Well, how about you obeying your authority? Amen. Boy, I thought that was good preaching right there. Amen. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching right there. Disobedient. You know what else they were? They were deceived. Y'all heard my testimony, but I was raised up in religion. You know, that religion was a feel-good religion. I could live the way that I wanted to live, and I could walk into a little box. I could tell a man all my sins, and they said he'd forgive me, and I'd be okay. It made me feel good. I remember my dad, after I got saved, I'd witnessed to my dad, and he was down in Florida, and he sent me pictures of his church, and he said, Michael, I went to confession on Saturday morning. He said, Michael, when I walked out of that church, after I told that priest my sins, and after I did my penance, he said, I felt good. That's what religion does. It deceives you. It's not a matter of feeling good. It's a matter of being right with God. Amen. No priest can forgive your sins. Amen. No religion can make you right to go to heaven. No, they were deceived. And then, you know what else you are without the grace of God? You're destitute. You know what destitute means? Without hope. Look at verse 12 with me. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Boy, that's what I was before I was saved. I was without hope. See, when you talk about a sinner being without the grace of God, that sinner belongs to the underworld of sin. They're helpless. There's only one walk possible for a sinner. I stole this from somebody. You're going to know that because it's alliterated. There's only one walk possible for a sinner without the grace of God. They go the direction of the world. That's why I don't understand, Marisa, saved people that say they're saved and go the direction of the world. You know what the Lord did to me? He picked me up. He turned me around and he set me in a different course. And the older I get in the Lord, the less I want to go the way of the world. Not the more. Have the direction of the world. They have the dictation of the devil. He's their dictator. If the devil tells them something's okay, they say it's okay. If the devil says there's something that they should do, they do it. Is that correct or right? And the third thing about their walk is it's dominated by the flesh. If it feels good, do it. You deserve the best today, or whatever they say. That's the flesh. There's a whole lot of saved people. They are just run by their flesh. You know why? You know how you can tell? Is that the Spirit of God? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What we are without the grace of God. Lost without God. Hey, saved folks, we need to remember the pit from whence we were dug. I am telling you, my worst day as a Christian is way better than my best day as a heathen. Amen. Amen. I was talking to Dan. We're talking about vacation. Some people say that they're so sorry to have to leave vacation and go back home. Buddy, I was ready to come back home. I was wanting to come back home. It sort of says something about your home when you'd rather be on vacation than be home. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Amen. Let me give you point number two. What we are by the grace of God. Look at verse number four. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And of course, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Buddy, I've been quickened. Verse number 5 says that I was quickened. That means to be made alive. I've never been more alive since the day I got saved. Never. And, you know, we talk about people dying, you know, oh, they're dead. They're more alive than they've ever been if they were saved. Amen. They're with the Lord. Amen. They're in heaven, amen, happily waiting on us. We've been quickened. The Bible says in verse 6, we have been raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So really, I have already been raised and I'm already sitting with him in heaven. You know, there are so many blessings of the grace of God. Where do you begin? Where would we begin? Let me try. The book of Ephesians is a great book to study, guys. And there is a book that was written by a lady by the name of Ruth Paxson. And in her book, the book is entitled, it's a verse by verse study in Ephesians, Caleb. And it's the wealth, the walk, and the warfare of the Christian. And it's one of the best books I've ever read and studied on the book of Ephesians. I have taught out of it. And it's just tremendous. But what I want to do, see, in chapter number 1, in verses 4 through 14, there are 8 things listed as the wealth of a Christian. Well, that's all because of grace. In verse number 6 of chapter 1, it says, to the praise of glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Because of the grace of God, I can listen to me this morning. I laid down and I said, Father, and I was ushered into the presence of God, and I was accepted because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of God that came upon. We think it would be a great honor to be accepted into somebody's presence that's a politician or this or that. Hey, I am accepted in the presence of the Creator, of God Almighty, the Savior. That's a big deal. That's a blessing of grace. It's just grace. I didn't earn that. I don't deserve that. Just grace thrown out there. Verse number 7 says, in whom we have redemption. I'm redeemed. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just show you why. Because my sins are gone, I'm forgiven, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'll never forget that first time I walked into that Baptist church. Brother Aaron, I was a hippie when I got saved. And I got saved in the place I worked. And the man who led me to the Lord invited me to Bible Baptist Church outside of Westchester. Pastor Alan Griffith was pastoring at that time. I walked in there on a Sunday morning. I had my canary yellow pants on. I had my platform and high heels on. I had my baby blue, ruffled, lacy, faggy-looking T-shirt on. And I had my long hippie hair, and I walked in there, and there's all those weirdos in that church. All those women had long hair, and they had dresses on, and all those guys had short hair. I thought they were all in the Marine Corps that went to that church there. And the first song they sang was Redeemed. And I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I sat, I opened the hymn book, and she's standing next to me, and she was not dressed like she's dressed today. And I'm there and I'm just saved. She was lost. And that first song, I'm reading along with it. I didn't sing a note, buddy. But those people around me sang like they believed it. Amen. And that second verse, I started sort of catching. You know me, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But I started getting some. By the third verse, I'm redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Redeemed. By the fourth verse, I'm redeemed. I was getting chill bumps down thinking the blood of the Lamb. I still get them.
Amen.
46 years later.
Amen.
The blessings of grace. I'm redeemed. I am forgiven. I don't know about you, but I had to confess some sins over vacation. Now, I know some of y'all sinless, perfected. You're so right and everything. Not me, buddy. I thank God for forgiveness.
Amen.
Look at chapter 2, verse 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
Verse 8, for by grace I am gone to heaven. I don't deserve to go to heaven.
Amen.
You know, when I witness, I try to tell people, listen to me. If you went to a mechanic or you went to a dentist or you went to a doctor, you'd expect those people to know what they're doing, wouldn't you?
Amen.
I said, I'm a preacher. I should know for sure if I'm going to heaven or not so I can tell you how to get to heaven. And I said, I am telling you, you're looking at a Baptist preacher that knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that when I die, I'm going straight to heaven. But I tell them, I don't deserve to go to heaven.
Amen.
I deserve to go to hell. I'm just not getting what I deserve because of the grace of God. Jesus took my punishment. He took my sins and he shed his blood for me so I could be saved by the grace of God. Look at chapter 2 and verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know what the Lord is making us, Tina? Trophies of his grace. If there's anything good that you and I have ever done, it's been because of the grace of God working in us. We say, oh, Paul was a great apostle. Why? Because of the grace of God. We said, oh, David was such a great man of God. Why? Because of the grace of God. We said, oh, Ruth, that Moabitess. Why? Because of the grace of God. They're trophies. That's what you and I can be. Trophies of the grace of God. The blessings of grace. I'm not looking for worldly acclaim. I'm not looking for this world to say, what a great job you're doing. I'm trying to get my Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look at chapter 3, verse 7, talking about the blessings of grace. Chapter 3, verse 7, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, in this grace given, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. We are privileged to be witnesses of the Lord through his grace given. Imagine the Lord to take somebody like you and I, put his grace in us, let us witness to somebody else. I just read your dad's letter last night when I got home about them preparing to go back to Indonesia. Him and Sharon and his wife have had all those health issues and have been trying to work on there. And that man is still praying about getting back to Indonesia so he can preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. Well, you know, just as those Indonesians are lost, the people around you and I are lost and without God. And we are the ones that God has given the privilege to carry the grace of God to them that they might be saved for the glory of God. Then look at chapter 4, verse 29. And this isn't exhaustive. I'm just trying to brag on the grace of God, what you and I are. There's so many blessings of the grace of God. Amen? I mean, you talk about the wonder of the grace of God. Isn't it a wonder that grace would even approach us? Isn't it a wonder that God would even think about you and I? The wonder of the grace of God. In chapter 4, verse 29, the Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, the grace of God enables us to be channels of the blessings of God to others. But I'm telling you, the only way you're going to be a real blessing to others is to live a consistent and a faithful life. You don't want to be up and down, in and out. That we can minister grace to other people. It's a strange thing. I got an email this morning. I don't know who it's from. The name line said Arthur. And he said, when I was a child, he said, I went to Fundamental Bible Church in Newport. And he said, I heard your preaching. He said, and we were meeting in the Grange Hall and we were meeting in the basement. And he said, my parents moved out of town and that's when we left the church. He said, I can still remember some of your preaching. And then he said, some for good and some for bad. And then this is what he said. He said, I heard that you left Newport. Why did you leave Newport? And he goes, and he's trying to dig up all this kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Why would you want to live in the past? So I wrote him off an email. I said to him, I said, brother, I said, I'm sorry, I can't remember your last name. And I said, I hope that you are saved and I hope that you are living for the Lord. And I said, the reason I left Newport is because God moved me to upstate New York so I could get in on the ground floor of Old Paths Baptist Church. And I said, the Lord is good. Mike Keenan. Some people just want to dig up dirt. Some people just want to gossip. That's not grace, guys. Lord, have mercy. Hey, doesn't the Bible say some people want it for evil, but God meant it for good? I don't meet you if I don't do that. I don't meet you kids. I don't meet you guys. God is in control. It's grace. But he is by the grace of God. Look at chapter 6 in Ephesians, verse 24. You all know what benediction is? We don't do much benediction around here, but you all know what it is. It's the final prayer. It's the final blessing on something, okay? It says in verse 24, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. In what?
Sincerity.
In sincerity. You ever hear somebody say, I want to get a divorce. I love my wife, but I want to get a divorce. I'd say that's not in sincerity. So there's saved people who say, I love the Lord. But then they live a wicked, carnal, selfish life. I'd say that's not in sincerity. You know what I appreciate about you? Your Christianity isn't limited to Sunday morning. The Lord is your life. No, I said the Lord is your life. Your life Sunday, your life Monday, your life Tuesday, your life at work, your life at church, your life at the house, your life over here. I've been around people. They're saved. They're saved as you and I. But the Lord's not their life. I don't understand that. Can I give you something? Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Let me tell you what we ought to be by the grace of God. We've looked at what we are without the grace. We looked at the blessings of grace and what we are by the grace of God. But what ought we to be? Look at Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 12. Luke chapter 17, verse number 12. The Bible says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Would you agree with me that the picture is you and I were lepers before we were saved? An incurable disease, a vile, dirty, stinking, rotten, no cure for that disease. And nobody wanted to be around them. Verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, so they obeyed, they were cleansed. Sounds like he got saved. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet. I'm just going to be honest with you. Some of these people sang, Timothy sang this morning, the girls sang, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'll be able to sing. I mean, on key, you know, with a nice voice. Isn't that good stuff? But I'll tell you what, if I can't sing like that on this side of heaven, I'm just going to do it with a loud voice. Are y'all with me? Why? Because I don't want to be part of the nine. I want to be like the one. That's what I want to be. They were cleansed. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? And he was a what? Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Who's he interested in? Every one of us. Every single one of us. There's no one the Lord saves and then says, well, you know what? I don't have nothing for you. I don't want to do anything with you. You just go about you. No, that's not true. Every single child of God, God has a plan and God has a will and God has a desire for them. And he asked, were there not 10? But where are the 9? Verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. In verse number 14, the 10 were cleansed. But in verse 19, the one who came back was made whole. Y'all know that with leprosy, the extremities of their bodies would fall off, nose and fingers and toes and ears and things like that. And the others, if they had lost anything, they were cleansed from that. But that didn't mean they were made whole. But that one who came back,
but he got a little extra. And why did he come back? The question is, why did he come back? What's the number one reason he came back? He was grateful. He was thankful. You know what I've learned? You can't do much with people who are not thankful. When somebody's always griping, somebody's always complaining, something, and nothing is ever good enough, you can't help those people. You can't help people that are stingy. Because people are stingy because everything is about me. No, no, I can't give because if I give, then I won't have for me. You can't do anything with a stingy person. You can't do anything with an unloyal person. Listen, you talk about loyalty. Loyalty starts with being loyal to the Lord. If you're loyal to the Lord, it'll be easy to be loyal to those that are around you. But if somebody won't be loyal, you can't do anything with them. You with me? Loyal, stingy, unthankful. Tim, he went back because he was thankful to be clean. And he really, listen, can you imagine living like a leper? I mean, dirty and vile and smelly. And the fourth thing is laziness. You can't help somebody that's lazy. Amen. You know, I had, it was such a blessing. I had Timothy sitting there, Timothy Angus. I had Ben. Then I had Josh. Then I had AJ. And then I had Daniel. I had those guys. You notice all those guys are dressed in black suits. I'm glad I wore my black suit today. Buddy, we were ready to charge the gates of hell. And you know what I do? I do it with those guys right there. Their parents have invested in them. God has invested in them. Pastor Matt's invested in them. I have invested in them. And listen to me. When you preach, when you teach, you can tell if somebody's listening. I know you kids sit there and think, this is so boring. But I know they think that I'm listening. No, yeah, yeah. We know you're bored. And we know you ain't listening. And all those kids are on the edge of their seats. Buddy, they're just sucking in like they believe I've got something to say to them. And I did have something to say to them. I studied it. I prayed about it. I asked for an anointing about it. I want to have an influence in their life. That's what that one guy, he thought, man, if he can do this, what else can he do? Pete, as clear as day, I remember the peace that flooded my heart the night I got saved. I had never had peace like that before. And then I remember, I went, Marisa, we remember, we went to church our whole life. But after that first church service that Sunday morning, I had never been in a church service like that. And the joy that filled my heart. And then that man of God getting up and preaching. I had priests give me orders, but I never had a priest preach the word of God to me. And when that Baptist preacher, Caleb, preached, buddy, I'm telling you, something sang in my heart. And I sat under that preaching preacher for a few weeks, and I was convinced he couldn't just save me from hell. He could do something with this worthless life of mine. Amen. So what is that? That's grace. Amen. I didn't deserve that. That's just grace. Holy Toledo. I was always thankful to be saved. I want to stay thankful for being saved. I want to appreciate what he's doing. What ought I to be? I ought to be thankful. I guess everybody could make a list of things they don't have that they wish they have. But what about making a list of things we have that we shouldn't have? Amen. About how good the Lord has been to me. Amen. I mean, Dan, you have had a woman. God, I don't know how you ever got her to marry you. No, really, the longer I know you two, I'm just thinking back. God, that had to be the grace of God, you know? And she has stuck with you through thick and thin. And he stayed with you through thick and thin. Eight kids. You guys could write an encyclopedia about issues. But they stayed together. What is that? It's grace. It's grace. Why did he pour that grace on their life? They were both thankful that God had saved them. They went back and figured, man, if he can save people like us, he might just have something else for us. And they cast their lots in with the Lord. Anybody ever disappointed in the grace of God? In the world?
Yes.
In the flesh?
Yes.
In the devil?
Yes.
But in the grace of God? Never. Never. So look, let's go back to Ephesians. With that one leper in mind that came back to give thanks. Aren't there some people that are just a joy to be around? You know, I walked into church today, and I don't know if y'all bribed each other or what, but most everybody I saw, they were acting like they were glad to see me. That's pretty good. I had people open the door for me and my wife and shake my hand and ask how the vacation, and just smiles and smiles and smiles. That's pretty good. That's grace. So I'm in verse number 10 of chapter 2. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What should we be by the grace of God? Well, I think we ought to be a workman. We're his workmanship. I think that we ought to be a branch that produce fruit for the glory of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. If you're going to do that, you're going to have to live different than you lived before you got saved. In Luke chapter 4, let's pick up in verse 17. The Bible says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the battleground that the devil's going to work. How many times have you tried to talk to somebody, preacher, about doing right, and they say, well, I think. Well, that's because their mind's corrupt. They're not thinking right. Anything you think that is contrary to the word of God, that's wrong thinking, people. It doesn't matter if it's 2021 or 1950 or 1611. The word of God, Jesus, never changes. I thank God for a final authority that doesn't move around. Amen? Amen? Science. Just follow the science. Is that the new terminology? Dawn, correct me if I'm wrong. Dawn has decided with the peace of the Lord that because of her job, she's taking that vaccine. And you know what we believe around here? It's an individual decision. But before she took her first shot, she had to sign a paper. And on that paper said if there's any problems with the vaccine, she would not sue. Is that correct? Follow the science? Really? The science that says this is going to help you, but sign this paper in case something bad happens. It's crazy. Now, this is all, I brought that up because there's a whole lot of saved people that put more faith in science than they do the Word of God. This vaccine thing, listen to me, we are not fighting this thing. This is not the hill we're dying on. This is a personal issue. I think it's more a physical issue than it is a spiritual issue. Brother Chad Wells was right here. Everybody loved Chad. He's done a great work in New Guinea. Chad does not get into New Guinea unless he gets a shot. He said to me, he said, preacher, I did not have to pray about it. I am called to New Guinea. I want to die in New Guinea. And so if it means taking a shot, I'm taking a shot. You're going to criticize that? Well, you better do it quietly because I will rip you a. That's a personal decision. You said, I have decided not to. I admire that. I don't have a problem with that. Whoever it is. I have told you, I don't want to take it. I don't. The reason I don't want to take it is because I don't know what the side effects are. I got enough issues at 68. But can I tell you something else? I want to go to Canada. I miss those people. I've been going there twice a year since 2005. I've invested a lot in that family and in that church. And I love those people. I pray for those people. I want to see them. If the Philippines ever opens up again, I have made a lot of friends in the Philippines. Since 2011, we went every February. There's preachers that call my name out and pray for me. There's preachers in their churches I pray for. Are y'all with me? There's only one way I'm going to Canada, and there's only one way I'm going to the Philippines. That's if I get a shot. And I'm praying about it. I have made no decision. I don't have to make a decision this week. And you better be careful if you come down too strong on something. The Lord might, down the road, say, I want you to do this. And I'm not saying He will. I'm telling you this. I will have a problem with you if somebody in my church decides to get it or not to get it, and you disagree with it, and you voice it. I will ream you out. Because it's a private, personal decision. Are we okay? I guess I just need to take that little sidebar there. Because I don't want anybody to say, well, you know, I don't want anybody to know. Are y'all with me? We are family. We love each other. We're going to stand with each other. That's just the way it's going to be. And we can do that and have different opinions about something like a vaccine. And if you come across a verse that you think is a verse for or against, you can share it with me. Because I have not found the verse yet. And I have asked the Lord, if I need to take a stand on something, I want a verse. I don't want to go on feelings. I want to go on the Word of God. Because in the end, we're all going to what? Die. Right? Okay. So what ought we to be? We ought to be kind to one another. I tell you that. And he said there in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's how I got off on that science bit. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what we ought to be by the grace of God is a new man in Christ. We ought to be a workman. Look at chapter 5 and verse 18. Chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You want to be filled with the Spirit? I think that should be one of the highest desires, one of the greatest desires a born-again child of God should have. You should want to walk in the Spirit. You should want to be filled with the Spirit. You should want to make spiritual decisions and have the anointing of God on your life for every aspect of your life. So there, it told us in Ephesians 4 and in Ephesians 5. So how do we come? Look at chapter 4, verse 17 again. Chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How do other Gentiles walk? They walk according to the course of this world. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Then you need to come out from the world. Number two, you ought to quit your lying. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25 in chapter 4. Wherefore, putting away what? Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You ought to quit your lying. Amen. You're not going to be filled with the Spirit if you're a liar. Amen. And you're sinning against the Lord. Look at verse 26. Be ye angry. We got that one down. Amen. But it's not a period. Amen. That's a comma. Amen. Be ye angry and what? Amen. Say that again. Amen. You with me, Timothy, Angus? It's okay to be angry, just don't sin. Amen. You should say amen there, Miss Keenan. I'm righteously indignant. No, you're in the flesh and you're mad. Right? We ought to be angry that the devil is making so much headway. We're to be angry that the world is leading God's people instead of the Bible. There's things to be angry at. Amen. Look at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Good place to start is God. Stop stealing God's money. Amen. That tithe is not yours. If it's in your pocket, you're a thief. The Bible says you're a thief. Don't steal. And if you stop stealing from God, you'll start to stop stealing from other people. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. That's work. Guys, we are in a position in America that America has never known. People won't work. People will not work. Why? Because the government's giving them free money. We got these socialists and these communists in power, and they're passing these laws. They're taking your hard-earned money and giving it to people so they don't work. Listen, you can drive up and down the roads, up and down the highways, any state in the union, and you see nothing but hiring, workers needed, laborers needed, workers. They are raising the... I took the kids to a restaurant yesterday, and I was talking to the waiter. We know him, and invited him out to church, and says he's saved. And this is what he said. I said, it seems like it's awful busy here for this time of day. He said, preacher, he said, most of the restaurants around here don't have enough workers. And so there's 45, 60, an hour and a half wait, and tables are empty all over the place because they don't have the workers. He said, we've been able to keep the workers except for the workers in the kitchen. He said, they have raised their salaries and they still have trouble getting people to work. That's in every industry there is. That's crazy. It is a sin to be lazy. My Bible says that if you don't work, you don't eat. Take those people's food stamps away from them. They won't get a job. So I just feel sorry. I don't feel sorry for them. People want a job in America? You can have a job in America. Lord, have mercy. So be angry and sin not. Make an honest living. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication. We're talking about being filled with the Spirit now. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of what? Well, I'm just telling the truth. Yeah, what is it? Edifying anybody? I mean, why do you think you've got to be God's reporter on somebody? I mean, why do you got to take all the trash and all the low-down stuff? Why don't you talk about something that would be a blessing to somebody? You want to be filled with the hope? No filthy communication. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I am afraid, guys, listen, preacher, I'm sure that you have experienced this in all the years. One of the things that's eating people up in our Baptist churches is people filled with bitterness. They hold grudges. They're bitter about stuff that happened in their life and what people did or what people didn't do. And they carry that on. They carry that on. And they're the most bitter, sour, unhappy people. You're not filled with the Spirit. If you were filled with the Spirit, you'd have a forgiving spirit. You'd have a spirit that all things work together for good to them that love God. Even the bad things that come into your life. Listen, I can look back on everything that I thought at the moment was not a good thing. God used it in my life to help me. It was good. Listen, there is nobody that if I ran into that I'm ducking and trying to hide behind a rock or something. You know what I'm talking about? No. And listen, people don't have to ask me for forgiveness. I, in my heart, Maritza, I learned a long time ago. If I carry that unforgiveness around, I'm the one that's affected myself. So I forgive them. You say, well, they didn't ask me for forgiveness. Well, it doesn't matter. They don't need to ask me because I'm forgiving them. I'll say hello to them. I'll be as kind as I know how to be. And I'm just going down the road. I'm trying to serve God, trying to do something for the Lord. I want to be filled with all. I mean, I got to preach. I got to lead people. I got to do right. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. This job cannot be done in the flesh. Your job cannot be done in the flesh, guys. We need to be filled. Look at verse 31 again. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We're going to have to come to grips with our inner man. If you got an issue, you got to take care of it. Nobody's going to take care of it for you. If there's something not right in your life, you got to take full responsibility for it. It's not somebody else's fault. It's your fault. And then verse 32, great, great verse. And be kind one to another.
Well, they're not kind to me.
Well, overcome with kindness.
Amen.
Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Here it is. Forgiving. What's forgiving? It's grace.
Amen.
Did God give you grace?
Amen.
Did God forgive you?
Amen.
Why can't you show grace?
Amen.
Why can't you forgive others? Because you're not filled with the Spirit. You're filled with the flesh.
Amen.
Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know the Holy Ghost can be grieved. Well, if you don't forgive in your heart, you'll grieve the Holy Ghost. You carry bitterness, you carry a grudge, you carry unforgiveness, you grieve. You'll eventually quench the Holy Ghost. I didn't say that you wouldn't be saved if you're saved, but there'll be no Holy Ghost working in your life. And you'll live just like a lost person. Your flesh will just run you and control you. He can be quenched. He can be resisted. He wants. Hey, listen, right now, if there's something not right in your heart, in your life, the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. And I haven't even touched the subject. But the Holy Ghost knows and you know. Well, you need to take care of it if you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Pick up in verse 19 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. The Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Look at me. I know you people. I know you love the Lord. I know you want to be used of the Lord. You have to do what the Lord says. You need to depart from iniquity. I know that you've had victory in your life. I know you've put some things, and that's great. But our whole life is going to be putting things off and putting the right things on and going forward for the Lord. Why? So God can use us for His glory and for His honor, and we can have an influence for God in somebody else's life. What a great privilege that we have for Him. And then I want to close with this. I've preached what we are without the grace of God, by the grace of God, what we ought to be by the grace of God, and what we shall be by the grace of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you get there, you can go to 1 Corinthians 13 with me then. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number 9. But as it is written, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for who? Them that what? Love Him. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Oh, I couldn't even begin to describe what the Lord has in store for us in heaven. One more verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 12. For now, 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Can you imagine seeing the Savior? Man, we've read about Him. We've heard Him preached. We've felt Him work in our heart. We've talked to Him. We've cried before Him. We've laughed. We've shouted. But we're going to see Him face to face one day.
Amen.
Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Bible says that our life is supposed to be a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. You're not going to understand everything in this life. So what do you do? Put it in the hands of the Lord. Let him guide and direct thy paths. Believe that he knows better for us than what we know for us or anybody else knows. And when we get there, we'll find out he always had our best intentions at heart. He always had us in the forethought of his mind. And it's all because of the amazing grace of God. I was reading this message a black man preached one time, and he said this: "Oh, Lord, I ain't what I ought to be, and I ain't what I should be, and I ain't what I could be. But Lord, I sure do thank you that I'm not what I used to be." Grace. Grace does not stop the day we get saved. Grace is a work that continues on in our life until the day we see him face to face. Let's pray. Let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If the Lord God in heaven spoke to your heart through preaching, you ought to do business with him.